blessing. Amen. I just want to say this quickly. I appreciate these men that have come to preach. And they'll tell you, I don't tell them what to preach. They are free to mind the Lord. And I'm thankful that they do mind the Lord, I believe. And I appreciate the messages that we've heard thus far. And looking forward to the ones that we hear the rest of the day today. I appreciate the spirit in which they preach. And I don't mind hard preaching at all. It's hateful preaching I have a problem with. And as long as it's out of the Bible, I can take hard preaching. And we need it in this day. Sometimes we don't just need encouragement. We need our hide whooped a little bit. But anyhow, I appreciate the spirit in which these men preach. And that makes a difference, I believe. Well, it's my joy to ask Brother Jeff Brown. He's a good friend of mine. And Brother Pridmore, if I'm pronouncing your last name correctly, mentioned last night that called Brother Jeff's name, my name, Brother Steve's name. We're out of the same church. We got our start the same place. And who would have ever thought, I guess 20 years ago when I was starting out, that we would be in this position together. And I'm just thankful for what the Lord's done in you men. I thank God for you. Our pastor, I wish he was here this morning, but I think his daughter is here. Miss Amanda's the one playing the piano. Her daddy's our pastor, and I thank God for him. And Brother Jeff, you come if you would. He's the pastor of Emmanuel Baptist Church, Jefferson, North Carolina, and I hope you'll give him your undivided attention.
Amen. Well, I'm humbled to be here. Very humbled to even be alive. I'm humbled to be saved. I'm humbled to be able to talk. I'm just humbled to be a part of God's great plan. And I'm thankful for that. If you have your Bibles this evening, I want to be in the book of Psalms, chapter number 23. Psalm 23. Try to be sincere to the Lord and what He wants for the service this morning. I appreciate the message from my dear brother earlier. Truly, a lot of folk have lost their fire. I read a little proverb one time. It said this. It said, "The blower is blowing, but the fire's gone out." Many times that's the way a lot of preachers are anymore. They're still blowing, but there ain't no fire in their soul. And sometimes the only reason they're still doing that is they just don't know what else to do in life. May God help us to get some fire back in our soul. Amen. Amen. If we could, and we are physically able, I'd like for us to stand in reverence to the reading of the King James Authorized Bible. And look at Psalm chapter number 23. I do covet your prayers this morning. God would help us. Psalm 23 reads, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank You for the privilege it is to bow before You, God, this morning. Thank You for everything that, God, You've ever done for us. Thank You for this precious church and these precious people. And thank You, God, for our precious brethren, God, that are here. Lord, I pray now as we come down the break in the bread of life, God, that You'd please help us. Pray, God, that we wouldn't do damage, God, unto Your Word. Pray, dear God, that we'd represent You well, God, as we stand before Your people. Pray, God, You'd put an angel by our lips. God, an angel by our mind. Help us, God, to say everything You'd have us to say. God, help us not to say anything You wouldn't have us to say. God, may the atmosphere of my heart be clear under the atmosphere of everyone else's heart. And Lord, I pray above all things, God, that when it's all said and done today, I pray, God, that You'd be pleased and magnified and glorified above all things. Now, Lord, I pray for supernatural power and supernatural help, God, this morning. Lord, You know, God, what stands before me, God, is nothing that I could perform in the energy and the power of the flesh. But, oh, God, we understand that You must honor the call, Lord, that You placed upon our life. And, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name now, God, that You'd please, God, give us fresh oil, God, that only heaven can afford. And, Lord, I pray, God, now in Jesus' name, You drive back the devil and the demons of hell. And God, may the blood prevail in this service, God, to the Lord glory of Thy name. Help us now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing in reverence to the reading of the King James Authorized Bible. I want to look at this passage of Scripture this morning and trust that the Lord would so graciously be our helper. And truly the Bible does teach us, without me you can do nothing. And may God ever drive that statement within our soul and to know that we cannot do anything without God. I want to give a few things here by the way of introduction and look into something that God's put upon my heart. But I want to look, the dear brother earlier mentioned, Brother Chris mentioned about 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse number 14. And we all know that passage of Scripture. If you know anything about your Bible, you've been saved any length of time, that is a verse of Scripture that many times comes up when we think about revival. Amen. And the Bible said, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and will heal their land. As I read that passage of Scripture, we understand that God, of course, is speaking to Israel in this passage of Scripture and how that they needed revival, amen. And there is a certain amount of human responsibility in having revival. And God is not going to bless sin. He's not going to bless a mess, amen. God is going to bless those that seek His face. But as we look at this, God is speaking to Israel. The ultimatum is, in this passage of Scripture, is what He says there in the end. He says, and will heal their land. Will heal their land. May I insert it this time, if there's anything that we need in this day and hour, it is for our land to be healed. Now, I personally believe that we kind of played the pink flamingo Christian life long enough, and we've stuck our head in the ground and let everything go and just let it go by. But it's time for us to realize that we need a healing in our land. Amen. Who would ever thought this country would go to the way it's going? Who would ever thought our churches would go the way they're going? Who would ever think that our heroes would go the way that they're going? But it has happened and it's here, amen. And it's here for such a time as this. But may I say to us that I believe like the brother said, I believe God can still send revival, amen. But may I say to you that the ultimatum is we need a healing of the land. That word healing means to make helpful, to make restoration, amen. It means, Noah Webster said, it means the restoring of purity. It means the removing of difference between man to God. And that's what healing the land is where God said, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And God has a will that His will be done on this planet, but everything's being done contrary to what God would have it to be done. And so removing difference between man to God. It ain't God changing His ways to fit ours. It's us changing our ways to line up with God. May I say the third thing is, it is to reconcile parties of variances. May I say to you that we need a revival, amen. Amen, that we would understand that there are variances, amen. And I'm not talking about compromise, but I'm talking about brethren that are divided over things that don't amount to a hill of beans. Then there is the returning of soundness, amen. And so this all deals with healing. This healing hinged upon Israel through the decision that would either be judgment or goodness and mercy to be left behind. In other words, the decision that Israel would make would either there would be judgment left behind or there would be a field of goodness and mercy, amen. And so as I think about that, what is taking place in our country, it's not the Pujols' fault. And it's not the bar's fault. It's your and our fault of the way we are responding to the things of God. Somebody said earlier that we have as much of God as we want. Amen. And that is true. If we really want to see revival, we'll have revival. Amen. God said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Amen. And I believe we don't have something because we really don't want anything from God. The reason we don't want anything from God is because it'd have to get us out of our comfort zone. It'd have to get us out of those places that we've grown to be comfortable in. We've learned to live life, and when we got time, we'll fit God in. Amen. May I say to you that God may ask something of you that you've never done before. God may ask you to do something that you've never ventured into before. May I say to you that you got to have time to do what God says. And so I want to understand today that there's going to be judgment on our land, or there's going to be goodness and mercy upon our land. Now, as we ask that question, we know what the heart of God is. We know that God wants revival to this country and to our churches more than we really want it. Amen. And so we know the heart of God, and we know what God wants. And so the aspect is, amen. You say, well, the world don't want it. That has nothing to do with revival. Real revival has everything to do with God's people wanting something from God. Everybody, we've preached today, the dear brother you preach on, amen, where's the fire? May I say to you, where's it going to take us? Amen. It's one thing to sit around and complain about having no fire, and it's another thing to get up and get on fire for God. Amen. May I say to you that the Lord spoke to me the other day. I mean, God, I was preaching the other Sunday morning, and the Holy Ghost told me, He said, I want to test your sincerity. And He said, I don't even want you to leave the church today. I don't want you to leave the grounds. I said, God, I'll do whatever you want to. Everybody else bails out. A couple families stay with us and just sit there in the church, sit there in the chairs up front in deep meditation in God all day long. Amen. God spoke to me. And the Lord, this is what God all day long spoke to me. And He said, you spend your life trying to get others to come and cross over Jordan. He said, it's about time you just cross Jordan and there'll be somebody to follow you. Amen. Lots of times as pastors, that's all we ever do. Why don't you come? Why don't you come? We don't even realize to look around that we're not even going ourselves. Amen. That's why we're so frustrated. That's why we're so defeated. Amen. Because we're trying to get people to cross a river that we've never crossed ourselves. Amen. I'm telling you something. We need revival. You can't expect everybody else to be revived if we're not willing to get revived from God. Amen. We need some people. Amen. We found our comfort zone. We found our groove. We found our rut. And we do not want to get out of it. If God says pray all night, will you pray? If God says skip a meal, will you skip a meal? If God says spend a day with me? If God says be isolated in the magnificent presence of a thrice and holy God, would you be willing to do what God says to do? Amen. Amen. We want revival, but we want it in our comfort zone. We want it the way we want it. Amen. I believe that God wants to send revival, but I don't believe it's the kind of revival we want. Amen. May I say to us today, amen, that the Bible teaches us, amen, we need sometimes to look back to see what the choices of our lives are leaving behind. As I think about that, sometimes, amen, we always, and I know where to look forward, but understand me, sometimes we need to look back and see what we're leaving behind. What is the fruit of our life? What is the fruit of our labor? I mean, you're talking about everybody. I've heard preachers mention, amen, I feel like I'm wasting my time. I feel like I'm wasting energy, amen. And I'm telling you something, we need to look back and see what we're leaving behind, amen. Sometimes we just need to get busy with the Lord, amen. I was just meditating the other day, and I wrote this statement, and I quote it the best I can, amen. But I said, Lord, am I wasting my time trying to get men to come to Thee? Or should I just fall in love with Thee and adore Thee as men are drawn through me, amen? I'm afraid we're trying to do something that we do not have in our heart. We should have an adoration for God that men will be drawn to the Christ of heaven. Amen. Amen. May I say to you that there is a power to change, but it is done by our choices. Amen. I do not believe we're in the shape we're in because God chose it. I'm sorry to preach honest with you, but we're in the shape we're in because that's what we've chosen. Amen. We chose to be like this. Amen. Amen. Our hearts is not fully involved in pursuit of the God of heaven. Amen. We quote the scripture. It says, as the heart panteth after the water brook, so my soul panteth after thee, O God. When your heart so pants after God with such a measure as that, everything else grows dim. Amen. Fishing and hunting grow dim. Amen. Life and luxury grow dim. I'm just being truthful with you. Even your family grows dim. Even church grows dim. You just got to have another dose. You've got to have something from God. It's got to grow dim before we ever have something from God. Romans chapter 12, verse number 21, I believe the Bible says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. You say, preacher, describe what it is to be overcome with evil. Look in your average Baptist church and you'll find out what it means to be overcome with evil. But the Bible said, be not overcome with evil, Brother Barry. He said, but overcome evil with good. Amen. What that tells me is though we see all the wickedness going on, Brother Jarvis, God has given us an ability to be able to overcome that evil by stepping to the forefront, by willing it in our soul to do something right in the presence of God. Amen. Is that not the truth? Amen. Amen. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Whatever happened to Christians doing good? Whatever happened to Christians loving one another, bearing another one another's burdens, so fulfilling the law of Christ? Whatever happened to kindness in our churches? Amen. May I say to you that we've got all of God we want. I want more. I want more than what I've got. I want what I see on other men. I want something from God. Esteem thy word more than my necessary food. I want something from God. Brother Joe wants something from God. What we're doing ain't working. You say, but preacher, I'm old. What I said, amen. Amen. What we're doing ain't working, amen. I'm talking about men that had something from God, amen. I'm not talking about a blower up a blowing. I'm talking about somebody that's been of God. I'm talking about somebody saturated in the power of the Holy Ghost, amen. When he walked around, you could see the Holy Spirit dripping from them. They were saturated. Saturated. I said saturated with God. I'll never forget one of those statements our pastor always made to us. In all thy getting, don't forget to get God, Brother McAbee. And I'm not belittling any education, but if we learn everything there is to learn and also learn Christ, we've missed the mark. God, you arrange your atmosphere. Lord, help me to be satisfied with it and be pleasing to you. I want to say to you that there is power to change by our choices. The key to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 is the fact that God wanted to heal the land. If there's anything that God wants to do this evening, is He wants to heal the land. Amen. So I begin to think about that and I begin to look at Psalm chapter 23 and we'll take our text out of verse number 6 where the Bible says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Amen. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord. As we look at this passage of Scripture, David envisioned sheep and their great shepherd. Amen. As I begin to think about this, there's three things I want to point out. There's shepherd, there's sheep, and then there's the land. Amen. There's three aspects here I want to look at this day of God, and let us be diligent in what we're doing. But the point of interest was, number one, I want to say to you, is David's observation in Psalm 23. David would have never seen God as He really was unless there was a spirit of observation in the heart of David. Amen. Amen. I told the Lord the other day, I said, God, I'm tired, amen, of just going off of things that I've heard from others. I want to observe some things for myself. I just don't want to hear about how good you are. I don't want to just hear about how wonderful you are. I said, God, I want to have it for myself. I want to observe it firsthand that You are the God that You said You were. David's point of interest was his observation. And that word observation is to fix the mind upon. Brother Thompson, we need to fix our mind upon God. The devil's got our mind on all our troubles, and I'm just going to shoot as straight as I can. And I'm telling you something, we worship our troubles. They're our God. We bow to them. We worship them. They affect our emotions. They affect who we are. Amen. But oh, may we rise above that. Like you said last night, instead of being knocked down, to kneel down. Get your mind off of what's gone wrong and get your mind on what is right. Amen. And that's God. There's nothing wrong with God. God does all things well, and He's never made a mistake. God does all things well, and He's never made a mistake. Amen. 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 Let God highlight that in your heart. Amen. God does all things well and He's never made a mistake. Amen. I'm telling you something. The problem's not that God's give us a bad hand. The problem's not that God's not been fair to us. Amen. Anything apart from hell is fair to me. Amen. Anything apart from burning in the flames of hell is fair to me. Amen. God would give a defender better than he deserves. Amen. I've got wrote in the very front of my Bible this statement God gave me several years ago. I wrote this down. One of the greatest victories in life is learning to live with what God allots. One of the greatest victories in life is learning to live with what God allots. May I say that David is very observant of what was going on. I want to give you a proverb statement here that I heard the other day. And I want to tell you something. This is very, very powerful. I love this. It says, notice what is unnoticed, and you will know what no one else knows. Notice, Brother Tinsley, what nobody else notices, and you'll know what nobody else knows. There's so much more to God, Brother Mullins. There's so much more to God. There's so much more to God. But we can't see beyond our noses. I'm telling you something, we need to notice, Brother Brad, the things that we don't notice before about God. How wonderful He is. How marvelously He is. The works of God. If you notice the unnoticed, you'll know what nobody else knows. Do you know why David pinned down Psalm 23? Because David noticed what nobody else noticed. Therefore, he knew what nobody else knew. I'm just being truthful with you today. I'm sorry to bring this. Amen. I'm not sorry. I'm telling you something. We in our Christianity, amen, we are so beyond seeing who God is. Who is God? Notice the unnoticed. Amen. See God. I mean, what God's worked in my heart here lately, these problems we have with our voice. Amen. Is how wonderful it is that a God that lives way up there and Jesus lives in here and the Holy Spirit and God is speaking, commune to speak to my heart. Then God takes a man's body and God begins to work in his mind through his spirit. And then God puts breath in his lungs and God puts in his mind of the muscular properties of a body and begins to demonstrate, amen, through that, his precious will, through wind and through precious vocal cords, to be able to deliver his precious word to his precious people, amen. You must notice the unnoticed, amen, or you'll never know what nobody else knows. Amen. May I say to us, amen, what did David notice? Number one, he noticed that the Lord was his shepherd. John 10:11 says he's the good shepherd. Hebrews 13:20 said he's the great shepherd. 1 Peter 5:4 said he's the chief shepherd. He is the shepherd, amen. Amen. Number two, David noticed that he was the Lord's sheep. John 21:16 says, Jesus tells Peter, he said, go feed my sheep. Amen. Thank God he's the shepherd and we're the sheep. You agree with that? Amen. That amazes me. Amen. Psalm 100:3, the latter part says, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. We're his sheep. Amen. He is our shepherd. So the condition that we're in is the direct, amen, representation, amen, of our great shepherd and the care that he takes in us, amen. Is it really as bad as we think it is? Amen. I'm just being truthful with you this morning. You don't have to pat me on the back. I'm trying to deliver my heart. I've been under such a burden for the last couple of days. I'm telling you something, is as really bad as we think it is, amen. Preacher, you don't know what I've went through. Well, you don't know what everybody else has went through. And you don't know what everybody else is going through. But I know a God in heaven that knows exactly what you're going through. And I know a God in heaven is touched with that. And if it hurts you, it hurts Him. And if it bothers you, it bothers Him. If it concerns you, it concerns Him. Amen. But I'm trying to develop a thought here. Amen. You see, David sees God as a shepherd. And David sees himself as a sheep. Amen. Amen. Now, the thing about this, He's our shepherd and we are His sheep. Out of all the creatures on earth, God likens believers to being a sheep. And I began to meditate upon this, and it amazed me that of all the creatures upon the earth that God could have likened His precious people to, He likens them to sheep. Amen. Isn't that amazing? Amen. There's a reason for that. Amen. Amen. Sheep are a creature like no other creature. Amen. Amen. There is a few things I want to look at in verse number 6 of Psalm 23. The Bible said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now let me make a few statements, amen, here, and then give you what God's put upon my heart. Amen. Goodness and mercy. As we think about this passage of Scripture, I've read and I've meditated. Amen. And the Bible said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. And a lot of people said that those are the guard dogs of God. A lot of men have said that those are angels. Amen. Well, if that's the case, this is the only place in the Bible you ever hear any referral to goodness and mercy following you. Amen. Amen. And I'm just going to lay it out there. Amen. Just food for thought. But you study through the Bible, you never find another passage of Scripture where mercy follows us. You'll never find another verse of Scripture where goodness follows us. Amen. Amen. I'm just throwing it out there. Amen. I'm telling you something. What does follow us? I begin to study those things. I begin to think about some things in Mark chapter 16, verse 17. 16 and 17. Amen. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name, that they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. If there's one thing that does follow the sheep, it is the atmosphere that a great shepherd produces through that sheep to be left behind when those sheep travel through the journeys of life. Amen. You've got to understand the context of the Scripture. David's bragging on the shepherd. David's bragging on God. Amen. He comes down to the end, puts a stamp of approval on it. He said, no doubt, because I have a great shepherd. He said, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And that word surely is a seal. David seals it up. It's almost like David did an interview with God. And David gets down to verse number 6 and he comes to this conclusion. Amen. The rest of the story, amen. That surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. Amen. I'm sorry. Amen. 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 Revelation chapter 14, verse number 13. Amen. Amen. Look what the Bible says in verse number 13. He said, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and the works do follow them. Amen. Every time a sheep goes somewhere, there's something left behind. Amen. Sheep have the ability to heal the land. I'm going somewhere. Goodness and mercy are the fruit of well-pastured sheep. Goodness and mercy are the product of the good shepherd sheep. Amen. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 22. What is the fruit of the Spirit? The fruit of the Spirit is goodness. Amen. May I say to you that if goodness and mercy are following us, it's because of the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. Amen. Now think about this. Goodness is the fruit of the Spirit. Ephesians 5, 9 and 10 speaks about, amen, the goodness of God. Amen. Goodness and mercy are an atmosphere that follows the good shepherd sheep. Amen. I personally believe, amen, that God has always wanted to have a people. He's got Israel. Amen. Why? But what does the Bible say? And Genesis 12, 3, I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. Amen. God's got a people on this earth called Israel. Amen. And they are a blessing to all that will love them and stand by them. Amen. 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 Boy, I love Israel, don't you? Amen. We went in the streets the other day and we just got some Israeli flags, American flags, sit on the streets, amen, made signs, honk for Israel. People come through their thumbs up, blowing the horn, amen. You talking about putting some vinegar in your cereal, amen. I'm telling you something, there's something about God's people, amen. God will bless you. And I'm just saying today that God has raised up a people to be a blessing to this land. We all agree that we're the salt of the earth. Everybody agree with that? God has raised us up to be a blessing to this land. Now I'm going somewheres. In the rest of this message, you're going to have a spiritual mind to understand what God's put upon my heart. If you've got a carnal, vulgar mind, you won't be able to perceive the depth of what God is trying to show us here. Amen. Now, if you don't, I'm not being, amen, being mean about anything, but just give me a little bit of chance to preach. Amen. He said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Amen. He said, they're going to follow me. David's, not only did I see David's observation, amen, to notice what no one else notices, and you'll know what no one else knows, but notice David's declaration. Amen. He says, dear me. Amen. Now as he declares about these sheep, sheep are a creature that should be a threat to no man. You've never seen a beware of the sheep sign. Amen. Amen. You don't have to beware of a sheep. Amen. A sheep should be a benefactor to this planet. A sheep should be a benefactor to a church. A sheep should be a benefactor to any shepherd. Amen. A sheep never leaves a path of destruction, but a wolf always does. Amen. If you want to find out if somebody's a wolf or a sheep, you just look what they've left behind. Amen. Amen. Now watch this. Amen. And I'm not going to get hung up on the wolves. I've got too many sheep to feed. Amen. I'm not going to starve my sheep. Amen. Worrying about wolves. Amen. David's declaration, he said, there's no beware of sheep shines. Amen. Amen. That which followed the good shepherd's flock was goodness and mercy. Amen. Can you see the context of Scripture? David's going to describe everything that God is. Amen. Everything that He does, He's with me. He leads me beside the still waters. Thou art with me. You make a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. He said, surely goodness and mercy will follow me. He said, God, you're going to take so good care of me. He said, there's going to be something following me that ain't following the rest of the sheep. Amen. Now let's watch this. Amen. His declaration was that sheep have an effect upon the land. Romans 8:28, we quote that all the time, but let's slow down and think about it. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, who are the called according to His purpose. Amen. A.W. Tozer, in the book On the Knowledge of the Holy, makes this statement in Thinking Correctly About God, one of my favorite books to read. And he makes this statement. He said, a man that comes to a right belief of who God is relieved of 10,000 temporal problems. Amen. A man that comes to a right belief of who God is relieved of 10,000 temporal problems. Amen. We don't serve a God that's eating Rolaids, drinking Maalox, worrying about what's going on. We serve a God that is in absolute, total control of what's going on this planet. Amen. God wants to send healing to our land. But it's not going to be through the bars, and it's not going to be from this world. It's going to be from a flock of sheep, a remnant that God has left here on this planet. The bears sometimes are waiting on somebody to come to do what needs to be done. But if we look around and you look at your hands and look at your bodies, you sit in that pew, we are the ones that have the ability to bring healing to our land. I'm trying to preach what's on my heart. I hope I'm all right, Brother Jarvis. I'm just telling you, amen. Herds of sheep. I thought this was amazing. Sometimes when they'd plow the fields, they'd just sow the seed at random. And herds of sheep were at times used to tread in the seed sown upon the ground. Amen. I'm telling you something. The good flock of sheep that is led and fed and herded, they're a flock of sheep, amen, that can trot in the seed in the ground. And thank God there'll be fruit that comes up, amen. Our labor's not in vain. We're not wasting our time, amen. We're just looking at it wrongly. We are God's people on this earth to bring something to this land. As I move on along and look at a few things, I'm going to give you the title of my message and bring out what I've got to say, and I'm done. I began to study this and read this, and I run across something I'd never heard or never seen. Or Brother Barry, ever heard that sheep are referred, Brother Pridmore, to the creature with a golden hoof? We've sat around and complained about everything long enough. And historically, Brother Joe, sheep are always known as the creature with the golden hoof because there's no other creature on the earth like sheep. And you know what God calls us? Sheep. As I begin to dissect this right now, I got 3 points and I'm done. I'm going to give you 3 things, and I said you got to listen spiritually to what I got to say. Number one, to understand the beneficiaries of a sheep. Number one, you got to understand the diet of a sheep. The first and lady said, goodness and mercy shall follow me. So in other words, everywhere a sheep went, he always left some good things following him and some good things behind. We've got too many people that's got a dirty, nasty trail behind them. They've got skeletons in the closet. They've got things they don't want nobody else to know about. But a true sheep is not like that. He's a creature of a golden hoof, amen. I know we're not shouting around, just give me a time, amen. Amen. Notice the diet of a sheep. And this amazed me. Sheep will eat the undesirable plants. Sheep will eat the widest variety of herbage. Sheep are able to eat invasive and toxic weeds that are harmful to others. They literally clean up and restore the land. It amazes me as I thought about that, Brother Thompson. You look around at people try to live for God, serve God, do what's right, and they seem to be the people that's always got the hardest time. They face the hardest tasks. They have to digest the hardest things in life. Brother Mullins, you touched my heart yesterday. But may I say to you, though you've had to take in some things and digest things, amen, from our standpoint, from the place we stand, you're a creature of a golden hoof, amen. You've left the path of goodness and mercy behind to teach us, amen, that you can make it through and you can leave something behind for others to feast off of. May I say to you, that sheep are able to take the invasive toxins used that are harmful to others. They literally clean up and restore the land. Thus they are called the golden hoofs, for they are esteemed highly for the beneficial effects upon the land. Amen. Do you know why the judgment of God is not upon this planet? It's because the golden hoofs are still here. Amen. It's not time to give up. It's not time to throw in the towel. It's time to be the golden hoof creature that God wants us to be. To make an application, Brother Taylor, when I was reading books upon this, and many men would take ground that had been overgrazed and was literally destitute of any vital thing, and they would take their sheep and they would let them graze upon that land where the grass had dissipated and the grass had gone away. And those sheep would begin to eat all the weeds, began to eat all the thorns and all the thistles. That reminds me of the book of Genesis, and God said there'd be a curse on the earth, thorns and thistles upon this planet, amen. But God, amen, that shepherd will lead that sheep into those fields of thistles. Those sheep will eat those thistles, amen. And they began that digestion problem. Their diet, amen, is they can eat anything. They eat all those things that are toxic to other animals, toxic to cows, toxic to horses, toxic to other animals. A sheep is able to ingest that and turn it into something that is fruitful for the land. Thus they're called the golden hooves. Not only do I see the diet of a sheep, but the digestion of a sheep. Sheep usually swallow their food with little chewing, but they will later ruminate it for up to 8 hours. Sheep have 4 digestive chambers. Number 4 is the number of creation. God, that's what sometimes we have to take in. Produce a creating act within the realm of that sheep to bring new life to the land. You don't believe that? Let's go to our textbook. 2 Corinthians 12:9. Paul said, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Amen. What Paul was saying was, God's not going to take it away, but he said, I'm going to remain and be a golden hoof creature for the glory of God. Amen. Now, you got to listen to me. Be spiritual about what you're hearing. Sheep manure is the finest, balanced manure of any other creature upon the face of earth. As I began to study this, Brother Jarvis, it blowed my mind. There is no manure on the earth that's more beneficiary than to the sheep. Now, don't you take a foul mind and listen to what I'm saying. But I'm telling you, we're not talking about a day of 777, 1010, 1013. We're not talking about bulldog sody days, amen. They had to rely on what God had given to fertile the land, amen. And I'm telling you something right now. God has so ordained that digestive system of a sheep that is able to take in those things that hurt others, those things that would destroy others, those things that would take others down. A sheep is able to take those in, digest them, chew the cud, amen. Be able to distribute it across the land and make the land more fertile than it was when they first come. Amen. Oh, amen. God's not doing what He's doing to you to hurt you. God's just trying to get you to let goodness and mercy follow you and make the land more fertile when you go through it. Never dreamed I'd be preaching on sheep manure. But it's our physical mentality. We're so wicked. I said we're wicked, amen. But to God it's as pure as anything else, amen. God lets the manure of a sheep bring revival to the land. October 97, went home from church, Got a phone call. My mother committed suicide. Took a .22 Magnum, buried it in the back of her head, and blew the back of her head off. March of 2013, my wife had a stroke, and I had to carry the car and take her to an ambulance. Up for 72 hours. September, Brother Barry's there preaching for us. Come in that night, my wife had another stroke on the piano, and I found my wife down the hall, laying in the floor. November that same year, my daughter had a slipped epiphysis. Her hip was literally broken. I had to have surgery and have screws put in it. And I was diagnosed with glaucoma last year. Then this year, I had to have major four procedures done up my head, my sinuses, and surgery. I've got two nodules on my vocal cords. I got an ulcer on my vocal cords. But I look at that, and this is what I say. Brother Mullen, I'm telling you, I'm honest in my heart. Brother Jarvis, the best of my ability is homeless in Ohio. I feel honored that God would let us go through stuff like it. I feel privileged. I feel like I'm God's pet, that God would let us go through things. God let us suffer for His name's sake. Amen. You say why? Because the sheep have ability to take things in that would kill others and bring healing to the land. Does that not make sense? When God said in Romans, He said, how beautiful are the feet of those that preach the gospel. The golden hoof preachers, the men of God that's able to endure hardness as a good shoulder and bring healing to the land. Amen. If they can do it, I can do it. If they can march on, I can march on. Amen. Golden hooves. May I say to you, sheep manure contains more nitrogen, more phosphorus, and more potash than any other creatures. It is the most well-balanced, pH'd, fertilized of all the creatures upon the earth. Sheep make use of ingested sulfur compounds to make wool. Thus, their manure is odorless. Sheep don't leave a stench. They just leave goodness and mercy. I ain't got much of a voice, but somebody just shout for me, please. Amen. Amen. God takes that nastiness, that stench, and that sulfur of His deposit upon earth. He puts it into wool to be used of the shepherding. Man alive, amen. I'm glad God has called us the sheep of His pasture, amen. Sheep don't leave a stink where they've been. David, what did David say? When he summarized Psalm 23, he said it. If I've got a shepherd like that, and he's going to take care of me like that, he said, I'm going to put a seal on it. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. If I'll just stay with that shepherd, there's going to be some good things and some mercy following me. Amen. Y'all all right? Amen. Number three, not only the diet of a sheep and the digestion of a sheep, but notice the distribution of a sheep. Got to have a spiritual mind. Sheep feed in the rich, fertile lowlands and carry to the less fertile high grounds to distribute their manure. You know why God sends you through things and sends me through things? It ain't because He don't love us. But we know that all things work together for good to them that love God who are called according to His purpose. And what God does is let things, Brother Brad, come in our life, run through our digestive system. Let us chew the cud. Shed the tears, Brother Joe. But God will let us go summers that the land ain't too fertile. And God will let what He's done in our life be distributed in unfertile places. Amen. Thank God for missionaries. Amen. And you take what God's done in your life, take it to a foreign country, and you take that and fertile the land and bring forth, amen, fruit, bring forth herbage that it to be able to graze upon. Amen. I'm telling you something. God knew what He was doing when He designed mankind, when He designed a sheep. Amen. He knew what He was saying when He said, "You are the sheep of My pasture." Sheep distribute their pellets more evenly across the land than any other creature. I'm sorry. Amen. Yes, I'm preaching on sheep manure. An old cow goes to the... And you got to be a spiritual minded in this. An old cow goes and she'll mess there. They want him to eat at it. They'll eat around it and they'll leave a green spot around there. And then it'll kill the grass where that pile of manure is. But God has so designed a precious sheep like you and I that sheep on His own will. Amen. Amen. That amazes me. Amen. God lets that sheep, amen, when the natural remedies of life, it has to go. Amen. And the distribution of the manure of that sheep is spread more evenly across the land than any other. You can read sheep books. You can read on it. They distribute it. It is the most distributed, amen, necessary nutrients to the ground that there is. Amen. It ain't no mistake that God's put you where you're at and put me where I'm at and going to put somebody where they're going. Amen. Because God knows where there's a little bit of fertilizer that's needed. Amen. Their pellets fall in and under the grass. Sheep pellets break down and distribute nutrients. Ain't it amazing everybody wants to buy Scott's Turf God for the yard because it's got a slow release? Do you know that God had slow release fertilizer way before Scott's ever come out? That's, man, I could have myself a spell, amen. We don't serve a little old God that made mistakes. We serve a God that every minute detail of everything in the design of everything that He done, when God said it's good, buddy, you better mark her down. It was absolutely totality. It was good. Sheep pellets break down and distribute nutrients in a slow release process, therefore aiding the land for a long time. Some of the things that others have went through, I think about Brother J. Harold Smith and about his little boy. I think about other things that men of God had to go through. Can we not confess that those are very fertile areas that we can reach out and grasp? Why do we always quote those verses of Scripture? Why do we always go those verses of Scripture in the Bible? Because God has used that to bring something to our life. No other creature has the ability to clean up poisonous plants, remove the lethal toxins, and put back life-giving nutrients back into the ground. It has been proven with sheep that you can take a... Well, the only way a sheep will be evasive to a piece of ground is if they don't have a shepherd. They'll literally destroy a piece of ground. Left to themselves, they'll run ruts. It's literally been recorded that they'll run such ruts in the ground that you won't even be able to see the sheep run across the ground. The ruts are so deep. And brother, that's where a lot of people are. They don't have a pasture to lead them to green pastures. Amen. And they've wore ruts in the ground that they can't even see out of. They see no hope on the horizon. They see no hope. They see no hope. They see no hope. Amen. But I'm telling you something, what a good shepherd does, he does not overgraze one place too long. God keeps him a-moving. God takes him to other places, amen. And what they learned back there is distributed here to make this rich for the next go-around, amen. And literally, you can take a piece of ground, shepherds record, that after 2 or 3 years of grazing sheep on it, eating the weeds, distributing their manure, being fertilized, that it literally become a vibrant piece of property again, amen. That's what I'm talking about. We
need to be the golden hoofs that God's called us to be. Amen. We could see some vibrant green grass.
People realize we've got golden hooves. Sheep are able to take in what others can't handle and turn it into something that is beneficiary to all. Sheep always leave ground better than it was found when there is a good shepherd around. And in closing, we need a healing of our land by the goodness and mercy that follows the great shepherd's sheep. I think it's about time we quit complaining about the shape that things are in. And I think it's time that we understand what God's left us here for. Brother Olin, sheep are a golden hoofed creature. Why? Because they can heal the land through the guidance of a good shepherd. Let's stand our feet there by the Master.